Welcome back to the Football Fitness Federation podcast. This is episode 280. This episode is with Pec Zwolle's performance coach, Jordan Brez. Jordan came on and he has a history in working in Olympic sports, a number of Olympic sports and a number of Olympic cycles as well. So we dove into that in terms of some of the lessons he's learned, some of the things he's been able to transfer over to a football season. We spoke about peaking, some training cycles, strength and power work, and also the future of physical preparation in football as well. So we covered quite a lot on this episode. Just before we dive into it, just a little heads up on a couple of upcoming networking events. As this podcast goes out, we'll be around 24 hours away from our next event at Colchester United. So if you're listening to this and the 29th of February has passed, the presentations from that event will be available on our online community for you to watch back on demand. We've got an event coming up very soon at Everton as well. That's on the 20th of March from 6 till 9pm at Goodison. We've got Chloe Edwards, James Malone and James Coneboy all presented on that event. And as this podcast goes out, it is still on the early bird offer. So make sure you go to footballfitfed.com, click the shop tab and you'll be able to find the networking events there and you'll be able to get some early bird tickets for that event if you're interested in coming. Now, this podcast wouldn't run the way it does without our amazing sponsors. So I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsors to start with. First of all, The Good Prep. I'm not going to read the normal ad read. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my recent experiences with Good Prep. And to be honest, it's been an absolute life changer for us in our house. We have that time of night when you sort of look at each other, what's for tea, what are we having, and Good Prep makes it a no-brainer. You go in the fridge, you got a number of amazing freshly cooked meals, all amazing taste as well, different variety of foods. And I'm going to tell you about, if you have had Good Prep before, you'll understand when I'm about to tell you about some of these meals. But previously, my favourites have been the Thai curry, the shredded barbecue chicken. But another great thing about Good Prep is they're always developing the menu. And recently, they've added things like a chicken and mango wrap, which is absolutely unbelievable. They've also added Korean thighs and rice, which is a game changer. Absolute game changer. And also, as I record the podcast, tonight's tea was the jerk chicken and rice, which was unbelievable. So make sure you go and check some of those out if you're on one of the packages. But I do highly recommend it. It's a meal prep delivery service that provides fresh, ready-to-eat, chef-cooked meals straight to your door. It makes it so easy. We get a couple deliveries a week, and it's worth every single penny. The good news is, to tell them that Football Fitness Federation sent you, make sure you use the code FFF15 and get 15% off your first order. So go to goodprep.com, thegoodprep.com, and find out more. This podcast is brought to you by Hytro, the number one BFR brand in pro sport, helping teams and athletes improve performance and recover faster with their blood flow restriction wearables. Built for sport and proven by science. Check out hytro.com to find out more. Also, make sure to check out our longest serving sponsor, that is Rezl, doing some brilliant work in the world of VR. So search at Rezl over on social media. Let's get into episode 280 with Pec Zwolle's performance coach, Jordan Brez.
Rezl is the world's number one virtual reality sports trainer. Whatever your team, your sport, your ability, improve your game and train like a pro. Rezl. Reactions, performance, accuracy, stamina, resilience. Train at home in the Rezl Sports and Fitness VR Training Arena. Search Rezl, R-E-Z-Z-I-L. Harder, stronger, smarter. The world's number one virtual reality sports trainer. Available now on MetaQuest.
Welcome back to the Football Fitness Federation podcast. This is episode 280. I'm delighted to welcome onto the podcast today, Jordan Brez. Jordan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. And thanks for having me at the show.
No, I really appreciate you coming on, because Jordan reached out to me recently and just told me a little bit about his background, and I think it's going to be really interesting for everyone listening on what you've done previously, but also how you're applying that into football now as well. So we'll get into that in a second, because I just want you to go through a bit of a breakdown of your career.
Yeah, well, I'm now working as a strength and conditioning coach at Pek Zwolle in the Netherlands, and we play at the highest level in the Eredivisie. I've been there in this role now for a year and a half, something like that. I'm also a SNC coach for a volleyball club, a ladies team. They're also playing in the highest division. They're now playing cup final, and they're at the last four. And before that, I worked more than 12, 13 years for the Dutch Olympic Committee. So, and I've been involved in preparing athletes for five different Olympic games. So five different Olympic cycles. Three of them were the Summer Games. 2012 in London, 2016 Rio, and 2021 Tokyo. And the Winter Games, it was 2014 Sochi and 2022 Beijing. So I've been working with a lot of different kind of athletes, and that's in the range of gymnastics, where I had a European, World, and Olympic champion. A lot of judo players, where I've been working with European, world champions, and medalists at the Olympic Games. Well, all kind of different kind of sports, also speed skating. So. And I quit after the Olympics of Tokyo, and I had to had a new experience and do something with my experience, do something with my knowledge, and that's why I got a little bit of involved in this job right now.
Amazing.
That's a bit in a nutshell.
No, that's brilliant. You mentioned there about the Summer Olympics and some of the sports that you've worked in there. What about the winter?
The winter, I've been working foremost with speed skating.
Oh, sorry, you did mention that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No, that's brilliant. So it just gives a real insight into obviously some of the different demands on those athletes. And what we're going to discuss in a little bit is how that crosses over into your work now with footballers. Well, what was it an intention of yours? Because obviously with the Olympics, which we'll get into, you're on a cycle, you're working towards a specific time. For some people, some athletes, it's literally a specific day and that's it. Football's obviously very different. It's a long season, a grueling season. There's a lot of fixtures. So was it always an intention of yours to end up in a team sport like football?
Well, as long as you're working in as an SNC coach or whatever you want to call it, I always said, okay, I want to be involved in as many sports as possible. And team sports weren't on my list yet. So I said, okay, that's a new experience. And I want to get involved into team sports. And well, soccer, they already asked me a few times. So that was a new thing for me to get in. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm enjoying it. It's a way different kind of working, in my opinion, than working with individual athletes. And like you mentioned a little bit, the periodization and those kind of, it's way different than working with team sports. That's way different. Maybe we go in depth about that later on. You know that on forehand, you know that before, and that's where you have to play with, and that's where you can get your experience in and try to make the best out of the athletes. And that's always my intention, whether I'm working with an individual athlete or working with team athletes. My job is, and not only my job, but the job of the complete physical staff, is to get the athletes better. Whether it's a soccer player or it's a gymnast, I want to make them better. So that's why I'm loving my job.
No, brilliant. What was your initial thoughts? Because you mentioned football being very different in terms of the team aspect, but also just how it works across a season to some of the sports that you've previously been involved in. What was your initial thoughts on the way that footballers prepare at the club?
Well, luckily, the role of Physical training is getting more important. Yeah? The last not only the last few years, but more years back. So the role is getting bigger, more important. Also the role of injury prevention and those kind of things. If you look at 10, 20 years ago, then the role of physical training was not that important. And now there's being more asked of the athletes. That's why I think it's a good thing to have the strength training into the weekly training of the athletes, because it's very important for them.
Definitely. No, that's definitely the case. With your previous experience then with those sports that you've mentioned, how has that been applied across the football? Has there been a lot of things that sort of transfer across, or has it been just looking at very different sports, very different setups, and treating them differently?
Well, I think it's hard to compare sports with each other, and that's also the part for soccer. The only thing you can compare from working with out of athletes is the devotion of the athletes to doing their best at whatever they need to do. And that's also for the strength training, for the physical training, for the injury prevention, those kind of things. And that's what you need to mention time on time to the athletes. You know, everything what we do is important for them. And we as staff, we try to make them better. So you have to talk with them and convince them. And I think that's one of the most important things, besides writing programs for strength training, writing programs for conditioning, writing programs for injury prevention. But you constantly have to repeat why and what they have to do. I think that's one of the most important things, because if they are going to understand why they have to do things, they're going to do it with more devotion, with more intent. And then the outcome of the training is getting better for them.
This is an area that really interests me, because we've had some really good conversations around this element of like buy-in from players.
Exactly.
Players buy into the program. And I think coaches, especially a lot of the coaches I spoke to recently, they do it in really innovative and interesting ways, not just conversations, which obviously you're hopefully going to have with your players a lot,
yeah,
but different ways where showing them clips of games, underlying the importance of whatever it is, because this relates straight to your game. Is there anything that you've, any sort of approach that you've taken with your players to try and engage them and show them that real value, or has it been just conversations and trying to get those conversations in?
So I think the most important thing is to talk a lot with the athletes. We're talking about buy-in, but and that starts with talking, but it starts also with telling them in a simple language why we're doing things, so that they understand it. I think one of the most important things is also listen to the athletes. So they're also talking about, not only talking about their sport, but they're also talking about private situation, what happens in daily life. So having also a listening ear to them, because you have to have some kind of, how do you call it? You have to level up with them on different kind of ways. And what I do is talking a lot with them, so having a coffee with them or eating something with them and talking about different kind of things than only the sport, and then also talking one-on-one. I mean, one-on-one is one of the most important things, because then they're talking more than they're talking in a group or whatever, and then you can listen to them, and then you can individualize more the programs. So I think listening and talking with them and investing in the athlete, that's one of the most important things to get them more devoted to what they need to do.
100%. Jordan, how do you go about that, though? Because you have a number of players that you're working with. You're not working with just one or two athletes now. You've got a full squad of players.
Yeah.
So across your week, is it a case of you're trying to work around every individual player at some point of time, or do you just see how it goes day on day? Do you take any sort of strategy towards that in terms of getting that one-to-one time?
Yeah, well, I'm not working full time at the club, so I'm working there four times in the week for what about the strength training, the injury prevention, and those kind of things. I'm doing the prep, the warming up, the mobility things twice in the morning. But can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, just in terms of finding time with individuals, how do you go about especially like you've mentioned, you're not in the club every single day.
Yeah.
So you've got a certain amount of time period, but you're trying to get those individual conversations with players as well, because you've just spoke about the importance of that.
Yeah.
So how do you manage to fit that into your time?
Well, sometimes it happens during the training. So when we're finished with the session, sometimes it happens before the training. So I'm investing a lot of time from out of myself into the players, into the training and those kind of things. Sometimes it happens after the training sessions, somewhere where you can find time and a place to talk with them or to listen to them. And I think it's not only about doing the training session. It's also about listening to them, what we spoke just a few minutes before, listening to them and talking with them and letting them, trying to let them understand what we're training and why we're training for. And, you know, it's a big kind of thing. It's not only writing a program. Okay, here's your program and do this. You have to do this. It's more than that.
Yeah, we speak about it a lot. You can have the best program in the world written down on paper, but if you can't get it over to the players, it's pretty pointless, isn't it?
Exactly, and that's what I see a lot, and not only in soccer, I see it in different kind of sports. But you know, writing the most beautiful program on paper, it's not that difficult. But to tell it to the athletes and to teach them and to learn them and to let them understand, that's way different kind of thing.
Yeah, that comes down to the art of being a coach, doesn't it? And there's a big part of that that some people get so well, I think, yeah, others struggle with as well. So I think it's really important.
Well, I think you're saying it good. It's the art of coaching.
Mm.
And I think that's a very important one. And maybe that's, if you get a little bit older, you got a little bit more of experience, so you can tell them, you can teach them. But the art of coaching, that's, I think, one of the most important things.
Definitely. I wanted to bring up, so something that straight away when you got in touch that I thought it'd be a great topic to cover is the element of like peaking for an event.
Yeah.
And obviously with Olympic cycles, Olympic sports, we've talked about that already, that as everyone will know, they'll get to a certain point, 4-year cycle or whatever it's going to be, they're building up to peak for that time. With football, it's very different.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you've learned or anything that you transfer over from the Olympic cycle to football in terms of peaking, or is it just a case of play, recover, like a lot of teams will get into the cycle of doing throughout the season?
Well, peaking, you know, peaking is way different in especially soccer, because they have to be fit at the start of the season, and they have to be fit right after the break in the winter. But there you only have a break of 2 weeks, so you can't do a lot. And the window before the season starts, pre-season, that's, I think it's something like 8 weeks. And then they also have a holiday, so there's not so much you can do. So that's a bit of difference. So I think it's important to know what are the demands for soccer, and not only for strength training, but also for conditioning, mobility, those kind of things. And then the in-season is very long, and that's where you have to play with volume, you have to play with intensity, and I think that's the most important things.
So is it in terms of that, you're looking for like a constant with Olympic sport, obviously, again, being very different, you're looking for that one peak or a couple of peaks or whatever it's going to be. With football, essentially, we're preparing players to peak pretty regularly.
Yeah.
So is that what you mean by that? That you just manipulating volume and intensity to allow players to peak maybe on a weekly basis rather than looking at a full 4-year cycle?
Yeah. You have to look from season to season, and like you're saying, the in season is very long, and that's where we are playing with volume and intensity. So whether it's doing 3 times per week strength training in combination with the conditioning part on the field, whether it's one time a strength and conditioning session, whether it's one time a strength training session, or we're doing as a form of deload, we're doing a strength training but twice a week, where we're doing only, let's say, 2 exercises. You know what I mean. So playing with volume and intensity, that's the most important thing. But I think the foremost important thing is during the in season, constantly focusing on injury prevention. I think that's the most important thing in season, because in season they're doing a lot on the pitch. They're running, they're playing the game itself. They need to recover from the session. So you can't do a lot in terms of volume in the weight room besides 2 or 3 good sessions, short sessions.
100%. So with that in mind, Jordan, when you first went into the club, and I think you mentioned you've been there about 1.5 years now.
Yeah.
What were some of the initial things? Was there anything you looked at and you were like, right, we need to implement this because players aren't doing this as well as they should be, or they're not doing it at all? Or was it just a case of small tweaks on the program because a lot of it was in place already?
Well, I think the most important thing was bringing some structure.
Yeah.
Structure on the weekly base. So looking at, okay, when is match day, what are we doing on the other days, and why are we doing those things on the other things on the other days, keeping away from the standard weight training sessions like a push day, a pull day, and those kind of things. So trying it more, getting it more looking like training for soccer,
a bit more specific. Yeah.
I think that those were the most important things to start with, and when we started with that, so bringing structure, then the most important thing was not getting buying, but getting to let them understand why we're doing things. And then that takes a lot of time, but once they know, then the devotion and the training intensity is getting better. So those were the most important things to start with and to continue with.
In terms of that specificity, in terms of training towards preparing players, so you're looking at the broad approach of a push day, a pull day, whatever it was in place before.
Yeah.
What changes did you then make onto that strength program in the gym that made it more specific for you?
Well, I think the exercise selection was an important thing. We changed a little bit with the programs, like doing the day after the day after match day. We're only doing now upper body. So yeah, then recover fully from the lower body, and then the most heavy day is one day after rest day, and that's gonna be mostly dominant lower body. But that's where we also can do a little bit more of volume, a little bit more of intensity, because then we got still 4 or 5 days still the next match day. After that, a rest day in terms of strength training. And the day after, so 2 days or 3 days before match day, then it's going to be a full body session. I'm talking about in season right now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be more something like a full body session, where the volume is quite short. It's more like activation, so more rate of force development, some plyometric stuff, those kind of things, more in terms of activation and that's, and getting them ready.
As I mentioned in the introduction, the presentations from our events all get recorded and uploaded to our online community. So if you're not able to make it to the events, the good news is you can still get access to the presentations. We've got a number of presentations coming up from our events at Colchester, Everton, and an event to be revealed very soon as well. So loads of brilliant content on their way. We've had some new members join over the last few weeks as well from clubs like Galatasaray, West Brom, Blackburn, Lithuania, Lewis, St. Louis City, Birmingham City, Seattle Sounders, and a number of others as well, so right across the world. So it gives you a great network of coaches to connect with, to share ideas with, to put performance questions to when you come up against any sort of stumbling blocks in your role. You get access to the WhatsApp group when you become a full member. So if you've got any issues or you want any feedback on anything, you can literally chuck it in the WhatsApp group and get a number of different opinions from coaches really quickly. So loads of benefits of becoming a member. So make sure you go to footballfitfed.com, click the community tab and sign yourself up there. That's footballfitfed.com, click the community tab and sign yourself up to a free 30-day trial. Here's part two of the podcast with Jordan Brez.
Real. And then in terms of, you said about some of the exercise selection as well. So getting a little bit more specific in terms of selection of exercises. Can you give any examples of that as well?
Well, in season, especially for the lower body, I'm trying to minimize a little bit on the eccentric part of different kind of exercise, you know, like back squatting, for example. I do a lot of pin squats or whatever you want to call it, inertia back squats. Because especially in Holland when it's raining, and I think in England also, but
definitely in England,
rain here on different kind of fields. So one time it's how do you call it? It's not the
like the AstroTurf.
Yeah. And then playing on another field again. So there's a big. A little bit of pressure on the low back because of changing of fields.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm also minimizing the eccentric part with, you know, with single leg squat, Bulgarian split squats, back squats. You want to have them fit in season. You want to have them fit, preparing them for match day. So the role of physical training is very important, but soccer is by far the most important thing.
Yeah.
So the only thing you can do is try to get them fit. And so we're looking more of that. And I think the whole thing about the groin, the hip complex, that's a very important thing. Also in terms of injury prevention, though. So we pay a lot of attention to the hip groin complex. The hips. So we got a bit of specialized program for that.
And with that, so you mentioned applying some like single leg exercises, some unilateral to try and add that stability component, to try and add that extra pressure around the hip and the groin. How would that work, or how would you periodize between sort of bilateral, unilateral? Would you be utilizing, because I know you mentioned like the pin squats before. Are you utilizing both right through the season, or are you doing any sort of shift between the two?
Well, I've changed that a little bit, because normally you would say in the off season you're gonna build with a lot of bilateral stuff, but the off season is quite short, as we mentioned. So, in my opinion, it's very important to look at the muscle imbalances. And that's what you see a lot. I've never seen any athlete, which kind of sport it is, who is balanced. You know, there are always different kind of balances, but you have to minimize them, because if they get bigger, the chance on injury are getting bigger.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of black and white, but that's how it works. So I'm paying a lot of attention to unilateral stuff pre-season. And always starting with the weaker side of the body.
Yeah.
So trying to get the imbalances a little bit smaller. So, and then we can go more to bilateral stuff. So like pinch squats and in some periods we do a back squat, but then some different kind of forms of it. So I've changed that a little bit, doing more unilateral work pre-season, also in season, so that we can do a little bit more bilateral in season.
So you're essentially building up tolerance for the player to deal with those demands. And then when you feel like they're at an acceptable level and things have balanced out a little bit more, like you mentioned, it's never going to be fully balanced, but you're finding a little bit more balance. That's when you're loading them bilaterally in terms of applying more force. Is that right?
Yeah, well, you know, we're testing the place also a few times in season, also pre-season. So we're doing a fat test and we're doing some different kind of tests to look at the imbalances between left and right, posterior, anterior.
Yeah.
And when there's an outcome of the testing, we can adjust the training programs in the gym to work on getting the imbalances a little bit smaller. So I think that's a very important thing we changed.
One thing I need to pick your brains on, Jordan, is thinking back to the Olympic cycle, the work with your gymnasts, because you mentioned gymnastics being one of the sports that you're looking at. And this fascinates me because obviously you look at gymnastics, they're strong, they're flexible, they're mobile, but we don't see too much of the work that goes on behind the scenes in terms of the strength work in the gym.
Yeah.
So what was your experience with those athletes? And is there anything that you've been able to bring over to football and apply to football from the work that you did with them?
Well, I've been working with the gymnast with the highest, how do you call it, the highest level athletes. You know, one of them was multiple European world champion and Olympic champion. So I've also learned a lot from him, learned a lot from working with that athletes. And working with some of those different kind of athletes, you take that with you, with your experience, and bring it over to the other athletes. Well, we spoke about getting buy-in. We spoke about talking with the athletes and letting them understand why we're doing things. I think that's still one of the most important things. But what I learned from, especially from gymnastics, is that gymnastics is some form of strength training within the training itself, within gymnastics itself. So there, in the beginning, I started with set parameters for volume and intensity, but after seeing a lot of training sessions gymnastics, I have to adjust the volume also in the strength training, because of the gymnastic training was some kind of strength training, you know what I mean? So that's also, again, playing with volume and playing with intensity, and that's what you also take with you now with the other sports.
So with that in mind, with their performances being very demanding in terms of strength-wise, would you be taking more of a like microdosing approach with the gymnasts in terms of sort of drip feeding little bits of strength work in throughout a week rather than doing a full session, because they do that in their performance, in their training?
And that's also, again, when you got buy-in with your athletes, you know, when athletes enter the gym, when they come in, then I'm watching them. I'm watching, okay, how are they looking? How are they feeling? How are they talking? Then you can see a little bit of something about them. Then you can ask them. But that's also, you know, there's a wellness questionnaire. There are all kind of things where you can look at. But I think the most important thing is talk with them and listen with them. And then you can adjust the program. So that's, again, individualizing, because you can't say to the whole team, okay, now we're going to do only three exercises. We're going to do two sets. No, we got soccer players. They got two kids. One of the kids, they're awake all night. So the soccer player, he's not sleeping. So he's coming in. So then I have to adjust the training for him. But for another player, he slept well. He slept for 9 hours. He can do the whole training.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit of where you have to look at. So again, where we spoke about in the beginning, you can write the most beautiful programs and tell, okay, good luck, this is what we're going to do today. That's not working, in my opinion.
Yeah, again, we spoke about planning in pencil. So plan your program in pencil, because then it can be changed, it can be erased, and you can add other things in. And that's essentially what you're doing, isn't it? The ability to adapt in that situation for each individual. Like you say, the sleep thing is massive, isn't it? When you've got players that are coming in that are already fatigued before training because of lifestyle factors, like you've mentioned, the ability to step in at that point and adjust what they're doing but still get a good outcome is massive, isn't it? You're not just treating everyone as a team. It's individuals within the team.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think one important thing on four of the days of the week, they're training twice a day. And you want to have, so they're doing the soccer training in the morning, mostly. Then the work rest ratio, that should be good. You know, in my opinion, there should be at minimum 6 to 8 hours rest between the sessions. Because if you wanted to have a good session in the afternoon, so you want to do it with 100% intent, then there should be some good rest in between so you can recover and have a good session. I think that's also a missing link in soccer. That's what I see also. They're doing the strength training session almost right after the field session. And in my opinion, that's a missing link.
I suppose the hard thing with that, logistically, with players being at the training grounds, and I don't know what it's like at your club, but if players are traveling a little bit towards the training ground as well, if they've got a 40-minute commute to the training ground or whatever it's going to be, it's a long day for them, isn't it? So would you, in terms of that plan, would you be looking for them to get into the training ground, do the training in the morning, potentially go home and come back? Or would it be a case of getting them at the training ground, keeping them at the training ground, giving them that recovery, and then letting them do that second session?
Okay, but then I want to turn it around. It's a long day for them, but it's also a long day for us.
Yeah. So
it's my job, it's their job.
Yeah.
They're getting well paid for their job. And in my terms, I think that if you're a high-level athlete, you always want to get better.
Yeah.
So simple is it in my opinion. Eh? So then I would say, okay, traveling, if you need to travel for 40 minutes or maybe a little bit longer, then do your session in the morning. Then you have a lunch. Then you can go to the physio. Then you can go to the massage therapist, whatever you want to do. Then you can have some rest. You can have some sleep. You eat again. And then in the afternoon, you can do your second session. I think that's the most important thing. If you're looking at an optimal training day, optimal training week, or trying to get them to the highest level.
And is that something you've seen across different sports as well? So that when you've worked in Olympic sports, is that something that seems quite common that athletes will train a couple of times throughout the day and it'll be spread in terms of the hours in between?
Well, funny that you say, because in the individual sports where I worked with, they trained in the morning, and then they trained in the afternoon again, or maybe in the evening. So the earliest session they started in the afternoon was at 4 o'clock or 4:30, or even later. So then they're still training twice a day, and between sessions, then they're doing like I mentioned before. So eating, sleeping, power nap, going to the massage therapist or whatever. Yeah. So I think that's an important thing we can learn from out of individual sports or other sports.
Definitely. I think there's always...
I understand it. You know, players, they want to go home, they want to go to their family and to the kids. But on the other hand, they want to get better. And yeah. I think a lot of players, they want to go to a bigger club, they want to earn more money, whatever. But then it starts with yourself.
No, I agree. I agree, definitely. In terms of you as a coach, I wanted to get your views on and experiences on the training cycle. So when we're looking at these two different cycles in terms of the Olympic cycle and then looking at a team sport week to week, a couple of games a week or whatever you're dealing with at the minute, What's been more, is there one that's been more enjoyable for you? Have you enjoyed one more than the other? Is it the big buildup of the 4-year cycle? Is that more enjoyable? Or is it the continued fixtures in football?
No, I enjoyed both. I'm always and still very involved in whatever, which kind of sport I'm working with. So I'm always watching the games my athletes are playing. So whether it's online or whether it's live, I'm always watching it. My girlfriend is not always happy with that, but hey, that's part of the job. But if they're losing, then I'm also not the most funny guy, because it's also a little bit of my passion. It's my work, and you know that if they're winning, okay, then I'm also celebrating. The different kind with individual sports and team sports, you know, like soccer in season, is there's a weekly match, so that's a little bit different. And in individual sport, you're working up to some kind of peak moments. So if they're losing at one of the peak moments, then the, how do you call it, the loss is a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Because you're building up for a big amount of time, aren't you? For what, potentially one day, one event.
Yeah. And then it's way bigger. And if you look at the gymnast I worked with, he was Olympic champion 2012 in London, and then we worked up to the Olympics in Rio 2016. And he was quite fit. He was doing his exercise, his movement on the Olympics. And then after 20 seconds or something, he slipped off the high bar. So the event was over for him.
Yeah.
That was only 20 seconds. So you worked up 4 years to that. And in the meantime, he became twice world champion. So it was a very good thing. But on the Olympics, it was 20 seconds and then it was gone. So that was a very negative thing on what we work with. So the in-season part for soccer is way different than individual athletes.
Because if you have a poor performance in football, you've only got a few days before your next performance, haven't you? So Essentially, you're not putting it right, but you're able to get back out there, you're able to perform again. That whole cycle of Olympic sports, not something that I've been involved in. That's why I find it so fascinating, is because there's such a big build-up. And if something like that happens, you've got such a long wait and then until the next one, haven't you?
Yeah, but it's part of the job, they say. But like you mentioned, in season with soccer, I also like this because on a weekly basis, that changes a lot. You know, this week can be way different than the next week. And that's also because you never know what happens. I mean, injuries, all other kind of things. And then you have to think and you have to change. And so that also keeps you fresh. So I also like this part of working with soccer players.
No, definitely. Julian, I wanted to finish up with, I always like this one. So looking forward in your role, so in terms of plans you've got going forward within your role, but also just in terms of strength conditioning and the way we prepare players just generally going forward, where do you see things going? You've spoke about the specific nature of the gym work that you've done and some of the changes in importance of injury prevention and things like that. But if we were to look sort of 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, how do you see things changing, or do you see things changing?
I think the role of physical training or strength and conditioning, whatever you want to call it, or performance training, I think it's getting bigger. It's already got bigger in the last few years. I think it's getting bigger. But I think our role as S&C coaches, performance trainers, whatever, is we are only there to try to make the athletes better. And we are not the coaches. They are playing soccer in where we're talking, but they're playing soccer. So soccer stays foremost the most important training session in the week. And we have to adjust. We have to play with volume, with intensity. And we have constantly be sharp and looking for the demands of the sports, whether it's injury prevention, whether it's working on rate of force development, whether it's plyometrics, whether it's giving them rest. Yeah, I don't know. I think the role is getting bigger. But we don't have to make us more important than we are. We are important. You know a bit what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely.
What stays the most important?
We're within a support team. That's the point, isn't it? That you're supporting the work that is being done in terms of football, soccer. That's the important work. And then we need to be there to support that in it, whatever that looks like.
Yeah,
no, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Jordan, that was a great chat. So thank you for coming on. It's great to get your insights because I know you've worked with some really interesting sports and how that applies over to football is really interesting. So I really appreciate you sharing that. If people have got questions, if people want to ask you anything about sort of previous experiences, what you're doing at the club currently, is there anywhere specific that you direct them?
Well, they can check me out on Instagram. They can check me out on Facebook, on LinkedIn. And they also, I think they can ask questions when the podcast is posted. So if they have questions, just let me know. They can send me a chat message. Just let me know.
Yeah. Perfect. No, that's brilliant. I think there might be a few. So I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, Ben, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to episode 280. And big thank you to Jordan as well for coming on the podcast, but also for reaching out and getting in touch to sort of register his interest on coming on as well. It's always nice to hear from different people that are interested in coming on the podcast. So if that is you, then reach out and hopefully we can have a conversation and get you on as well. If you've got a bit of background, a bit of a story, some ideas on topics you want to cover, then let me know because I'm always looking for new guests. You can go and link up with Jordan. He's over on Instagram. Just search Jordan Brez on Instagram. You'll be able to find him on there. Takeaways on this one. I think a lot of it comes back to using simple language with athletes. I think that was something that sort of he talked about across Olympic sports and over to football as well. Listening to players. So not just talking at them, actually listening, but not just listening, having your ears open, but also taking in what they're actually saying. Something we've spoke about before on the podcast, but being an active listener, and that allows you to build stronger relationships with players. And then just some of the finer detail stuff. I wrote down the impact of surface. So Jordan spoke about some of the finer details, looking at preparation. So always going through things with a fine tooth comb and looking at, are there any sort of, I know marginal gains gets used quite a lot, but are there anything we can put in place to help with that? Any things that might seem small, but are going to benefit the players? And it's going, leaving no stone unturned. It's really working hard to make sure that we're covering all bases with everything that we do in terms of our preparation with our players. So I hope you enjoyed that episode with Jordan. Please, if you haven't, leave us a short iTunes review, click the 5 stars and leave us a short comment. If you listen on Spotify, it's so easy, just click 5 stars. And I've seen a lot of people doing that recently, so a big thank you to everyone that's done that. If you're over on the YouTube, if you're not checked out the YouTube yet, go and check that out. Leave us a short comment. It's always nice to hear from people over on the YouTube, so I really appreciate that. And just one last thing from me, make sure to go and check out our amazing sponsors, The Good Prep, Rezl, and also Hydro, all doing some amazing work. So go and give them a follow over on socials. Big thank you again for listening, and I'll speak to you again next week in episode 281.